Will you please turn to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2. We'll read from verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they persevered in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear was upon every soul, and many wonders and signs took place through the apostles' means. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and substance, and distributed them to all, according as anyone might have need. And every day, being constantly in the temple with one accord, and breaking bread in the house, they received their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were to be saved. The letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read the first 16 verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you therefore to walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, using diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, as ye have been also called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Wherefore, he says, having ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive and has given gifts to men. But that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same who has also ascended up above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he has given some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at the full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, in order that we may be no longer babes, tossed and carried about by every wind of that teaching, which is in the slit of man, in unprincipled cunning, with a view to systematize error, but holding the truth in love, we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body fitted together and connected by every joint of supply, according to the working in its measure of each one part, works for itself the increase of the body to itself, building up in love. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for gathering us together again this day. We thank Thee for remembering Thee at Thy table, and we thank Thee that we can continue in Thy presence to hear Thy word. Lord, we ask that thou will break the bread to us. We pray that thou will give us not only understanding, but also the obedience that we may follow thee. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We have been considering together on this matter of fellowship. First of all, we mentioned what is fellowship. Fellowship is sharing in common. Thank God, He has delivered us out of that old fellowship that we had in the world. Before we believe in the Lord Jesus, we were in a fellowship. It is a fellowship of sin. It is a fellowship of death. It is a fellowship of the world. And we were all part of that. But thank God, He has delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, dear brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we have come out of that old fellowship. And we are now in a new fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we are told that God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. God has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean? It means that as the Father shared with the Son all things, and the Son shared with His Father all things, in that divine, eternal, glorious fellowship, God, because of His love for us, He has extended His own fellowship to us. He has drawn us into His own fellowship. In other words, the Father is to share His Son with us, without reserve. And the Son is to share His Father with us, without any reserve. We are drawn into that divine fellowship, that we can fellowship with God the Father. We can fellowship with God the Son. And it pleases the Father to reveal His Son in us. And it is the delight of the Son to show us His Father, to share His Father with us. And we are now in this wonderful, glorious, eternal fellowship. This fellowship is also called the fellowship of the apostles. Because in 1 John chapter 1, we are told, the apostles, they have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And what they have received, they report to us, that we may have fellowship with them. So, brothers and sisters, the fellowship of the apostles is nothing but the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The apostles do not have their own fellowships. They fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they deliver what they have fellowship to us, that we may be in the fellowship of the apostles. So this fellowship is the fellowship of the body of Christ. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus are in that fellowship. And we are all privileged to be in that fellowship. You know, in this world, if you want to join a club, a fraternity, there are different conditions and requirements. And of course, in joining such club, you may have certain privilege and rights, but all these are very limited. But thank God, we are called into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is the highest fellowship, heavenly, spiritual, eternal. And yet, it doesn't cost us anything. It costs the Father His Son. It costs the Son His own life. And yet, they are freely given to us that we may be in that wonderful fellowship. So how we need to treasure that fellowship. And of course, because of that, we should not be unequally yoked with the old fellowship that we had before in the world. Now we also mentioned, because this fellowship is so precious, there are certain principles that govern this fellowship. Number one, it is the fellowship of Christ. The content of this fellowship is Christ. Paul said, I do not preach myself. I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So what is fellowship? Fellowship is not fellowshipping ourselves. Fellowshipping is fellowshipping the Christ that is in you and in me. That is fellowship. And as we share Christ together, out of our knowledge and experience, then we'll find we are enriching one another. And that is the way that the body of Christ is built up. The very nature of this fellowship is life. The fellowship between the Father and the Son is a fellowship of life. They share life together. And the only way we can join in that fellowship is through life. Life given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the basis of fellowship is life. That's the very nature of it. The channel of that fellowship is the Holy Spirit. So it is called fellowship in the Spirit. It is through the Spirit that we fellowship with one another. So for the fellowship to be real and rich, it has to come from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, His working in each one of us, and out of what He has wrought in us, in the Spirit we share with one another. That is the channel. And the atmosphere of their fellowship is love. Love is the motivation and also the strengthening of our fellowship one with another. So these are the things that we have covered during the past two Lord's Day. Now this morning we would like to go into this matter of the practice of fellowship. We have already mentioned that our fellowship is heavenly and spiritual. It is not earthly. It is not of the flesh. But not because it is heavenly and spiritual, therefore it is not practical. You know, sometimes we have a kind of misunderstanding. The more spiritual you are, the less practical you become. But that is not true. Our God is spirit. And yet, our God is most practical. So, fellowship is spiritual in character. And yet, it is very practical in action. You know, the very word fellowship is an action word. It involves action. Fellowship is communicating, communion, sharing, participating. So that's what fellowship really is. It is active, positive. If you look into the early church, the passage that we have read in Acts chapter 2, now that tells us how the early church practiced this matter of fellowship. It said they persevered, and the they not only includes the 120 matured believers who have prayed for 10 days in that upper room until the Spirit of God came down, and in one spirit they were baptized into one body. But the day there includes also the 3,000 that came to the Lord on that very day, on the day of Pentecost. They are new. They are babes in Christ. And yet whether you are matured or whether you are new, newly born, together they persevered, continued faithfully, constantly. They persevered in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostle. Now, how do they express that they really continue in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles? That is to say, how do they express their faith in the teaching of Christ, and also enter into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ? How do they do it? In breaking of bread and prayers. Now, brothers and sisters, it may not register in you how important is the breaking of bread. For the breaking of bread and prayers are the two most important ways of practicing the fellowship. Unfortunately, today we find these two things are the most neglected, ignored, unknown among God's people. What God's people know probably is more ministry, the ministry of the word. But so far as the breaking of bread and prayers are concerned, they are most overlooked. And that is the weakness we find in God's people, among God's people today. Why? Because the very building up of the body of Christ lies in the breaking of bread and in prayers. First Corinthians chapter 11 tells us the teaching of the apostles, the teaching of Christ. And it is concerned with this matter of the Lord's table. When God's people come together to break the bread, this is to remember the Lord. To remember how He gave His life to us. How His body was broken for us. How His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. When God's people come together, they are to remember the Lord. And it is the wish of the Lord. He said, do this in remembrance of me. As God's people gathered around the table, they are exhibiting the death of our Lord Jesus. It is a testimony, a public testimony to the world, both seen and unseen, that our Lord Jesus had died for us. And what a redemption he has accomplished for us. It is our testimony. And when we break bread together, we are looking forward to his return. Because he has risen. He has ascended up high. And one day he is coming back. And this is our blessed hope. This is the teaching of the apostles. Acting it out. You know, when we break the bread, we act out the teaching. Expresses that teaching. That the Lord is everything to us. We remember him. We love him. We worship him. Then when you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you find the fellowship of the apostles is being acted out. Because there you'll find this cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of the Lord Jesus? The loaf that we break, is it not the body of our Lord Jesus who is given to us in communion with his body? So every time when we come together to break the bread, there is the communion there. There is the fellowship there. We are fellowshipping with the blood of our Lord Jesus. Once flow out from his body, eternal salvation is accomplished. In communion with his body. In other words, when we are drinking the cup, in our spirit, we once again enjoy the atoning power of the blood of our Lord Jesus. It washes us clean. When we are partaking of the bread, once again, we are in communion with the body of Christ. He is our life. We live not by ourselves, but by his life. So every time when we come to break the bread, there is a spiritual reality there. We are in communion with our Lord Jesus. And through this communion, we are strengthened. We are ready to walk the wilderness journey until we drink it anew with him. So, brothers and sisters, there is a communion going on. A reality there. And every time we break the bread, we are strengthened in our spirit. Otherwise, where is the strength for us to go on in this world? But further than that, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are also told that we, though we are many, and yet we are one, one bread, we all partake of this one body. In other words, when we are breaking the bread, before the bread was broken, what we see is one loaf. That is the body of Christ. The incarnated body of Christ. Personal body of Christ. In that body, our Lord Jesus lived for 33 years. And in that body, He died for us. We are in communion with Him. But after we have broken and eaten the bread, each one of us has a piece. And yet when God looks from above, He can see the bread, one loaf. Brothers and sisters, this is the fellowship of the body of Christ. Therefore, when we come to break the bread, the Bible said we must discern the body. In other words, we must understand that this bread does not represent any exclusive groups. This bread represents the whole body of Christ. So in our spirit, we are in fellowship with all God's people. It is a fellowship. Tremendous testimony. So, brothers and sisters, this matter of the breaking of bread is of extreme importance. In the early church, if you read the account in Acts chapter 2, it seems as if they break bread every day, every meal. It is not a ritual. It is not a ceremony. It is a life. Whatever they eat, they remember the Lord. They break bread together to show their fellowship with God and His Son and their fellowship with one another. So, dear brothers and sisters, I do hope that we really appreciate what the Lord has commanded us to do, because it is a tremendous testimony that we are fellowshipping with the Father and the Son and fellowshipping one with another. That's the breaking of bread. And yet, you find prayers. Now, of course, the prayers here is more than just our private, personal prayers. That we shut the door, we go to the closet, and there we pray to our Father who is in secret. The prayer here is corporate prayer. Is the prayer of the church. God's people come together to pray. Because in this prayer, coming together to pray, it is a demonstration of the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. The church began with prayer. The 120 believers, they were together in that upper room, praying with one accord for 10 days. And that's how the church was born. It was born in prayer. So the expression of the church is prayer. The church is called a prayer. The house of prayer for all nations. We are called to pray because when we pray, there is a communion going on. Prayer is not just coming together to ask God for something. Prayer is when we come together, we are in communion with God. We are in communion with our Lord Jesus. We are here to worship Him. We are here to wait upon Him. We are here to seek His mind. We are here to do His will. We are here to pray according to His will. It is a communion with God. And at the same time, it is a fellowship with brothers and sisters. Why? Because we who have different minds, different thoughts, different opinions, and yet when we come together to pray, we lay down ourselves. And with one accord, we seek the Lord. Doing a ministry. Prayer is the ministry of the church. This is the most fundamental and the greatest ministry the church can ever do. Praying together. Because in prayer we touch the throne. And by praying we are transformed. By praying we come into one. So brothers and sisters, this matter of corporate prayer is the very teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. I do hope that we will treasure this privilege of coming together and pray. Now in the early church, you find how they gather together. You know, that is the very meaning of the word church, ecclesia. What is ecclesia? Ecclesia is called out ones, assembled together. Thank God we are the called out ones. But the called out ones do not form the church, the ecclesia. It's when the called out ones assembled. That's the church. That we come together, assembled together, gathered together. Not only gathered in body, but also gathered in soul, in heart. Because when you read Acts chapter 4, you'll find all those who are the Lord's, they were one in spirit and soul. You know, sometimes we say, well, my body is not with you, but my spirit is with you. That sounds very spiritual. But that's not enough. Or you say, well, I'm bodily present, but if your heart is somewhere else, that's just too bad. This gathering together is spirit and soul and body. It involves our whole being. They gathered together. And then you'll find in Acts chapter 2, they assembled. Each day in the temple. In other words, how these early Christians, they love fellowship. They come together every day in the temple. Now, most likely, you know, at that time, the only large place that they can assemble together is the temple area, Solomon's porch. That's where they gather together. And most likely they gather together, maybe to hear the word of God. And not only they gathered in the temple, you find they gathered in homes for more intimate time of sharing together. In other words, they found, you know, they just have found their faith. And it was so thrilling to them. So you find they seem to lay aside everything and just be together and assemble and fellowshipping day by day, day by day. I mean, you can imagine the situation during the early days. Because on Pentecost, lots of people, they come from every part of the world. And when they got saved, they stay there. They do not come back home, return home. They just stay there. And they just meet together and assemble together, encouraging one another and hearing the word of God and praying together. Wonderful. Of course, today we cannot do that. But the Spirit is there. See, modern life is not conducive to spiritual growth. But in spite of that, we need to rise above it. You know, we need to desire as much as the Lord allows us to assemble together. For various reasons. Of course, today we have many other obligations. But we need to remember who we are. We are heavenly people. We are God's people. And so far as our priority is concerned, we need to consider that. As much as possible, we should be together, seeking the Lord, pursuing together. And here you'll find they eat their bread with the simplicity of heart and gladness. Now you can see in the early church how they live a simple life. Our life today is too complicated. I do believe that we can make it simpler. Now in the early days you find they share everything in common. And many of them sold their properties. Now why? Because there was a need there. Lots of people coming from outside, they stay, they do not return, they have no work. They want to enjoy the fellowship, but they have to live, they have to eat. So you find brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, they sold their properties and supply all the needs. In other words, they share everything in common. They have delivered from self-possessiveness. Now some people said, whether this is the norm of the church. Now so far as we can see, this is when there is a revival. That's what happened. But even so, that spirit of sharing everything with one another should be there. Here you'll find a people joyful, happy. Praising God. Good testimony to the people around. Now that's what you'll find in the early church. Now of course, God never wants us to copy outwardly. But the spirit is important. So how can we really be restored, as it were, into this practicing of our glorious fellowship? In other words, how can the fellowship of God's Son Jesus Christ, this wonderful fellowship, how can this fellowship be practiced and expressed? Now, in the teaching of the apostle, you'll find there are some preliminaries, exhortations. So, when you come to Ephesians, you'll find it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, we all know that Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is more on teaching. And then Ephesians 4 to 6 is more on fellowship, the practice. Now here you'll find the Apostle Paul tells us that we should keep diligently the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. But before he say this, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, you will find he said, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you. And in chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, prisoner of the Christ Jesus. Twice he mentioned that he is the prisoner of Christ. Now, why is this so? Because unless we are prisoners of the Lord Jesus, there is no way to practice Christian fellowship. Unless we are captured by the Lord. And if we are captured by the Lord, then we are able to walk worthy of our calling, wherewith we have been called. We are called into the fellowship of God's Son Jesus Christ. How can we walk worthy of that calling? Unless we are prisoners of Christ. In other words, unless we give up our rights to ourselves, we deliver our rights to our Lord Jesus and let him have full control over our life. Otherwise, there is no way for that fellowship that we have been called. So here you find, as prisoner in the Lord, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, how can we do that? With all lowliness and meekness. That's what we are not. Naturally, we are proud, we are arrogant. Naturally, we find that we are the best. But if we are prisoners of Christ, then we have that lowliness and meekness. The Lord said, "Lo, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, and you shall find rest in your soul." Are we yoked with Christ Jesus? If we are yoked with Christ Jesus, then His character will begin to develop in us. His lowliness and His meekness. He take a low place. He is meek, that is selfless, not thinking of Himself. And then He says, with long suffering. Fellowship is the sweetest thing in the world. Because the Bible says that your joy may be full. And yet fellowship is the hardest thing in the world. Unless we have love to bear with one another, unless we're willing to suffer long. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter on love, the first quality of love is love suffers long. From whom do you suffer? From your fellow members. But you are willing to suffer long and is kind. You are willing to repay your suffering with kindness. In other words, a heart condition has to be prepared. Are we prepared for this glorious fellowship? May the Lord make us ready. And then He said, diligently keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond. Why in the uniting bond of peace? This morning when I'm meditating on this verse, it seems to jump out and say, why? Keep diligently the unity of the Spirit. Isn't that enough? Why is it in the uniting bond of peace? That shows, unless we are at peace, not only with God, with one another, we will not be able to keep the unity of the Spirit. Thank God He has given us the unity of the Spirit. This is something already given. It is not something to attend to. This unity of the Spirit is given to us at the time when we are born again, because it is represented by the seven ones that follows. One Spirit, one body, one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is in all, through us all, and over all. Now, in these seven things, that is, in the triune God, we are one. Already one. We have the same, we are in the same body of Christ. We have the same Spirit. And we have the same hope of our calling. That is, when the body is fully grown, it will be the bride of the Lamb. That's our hope. And that's what the Holy Spirit is working towards. In the Holy Spirit, you have these three ones. And then in our Lord Jesus, one Lord, not many Lords, we have only one Lord, one faith, that is the basic faith in the Lord Jesus, one baptism, not the manner of baptism, but the meaning of baptism, baptized unto Christ. And one God and Father. God is God to all the nations, but He is only Father to us. We all share the same Father. So in the triune God, we are one. That oneness is given, but that oneness is being challenged. Because it's so precious. So here you'll find, even though we are saved, we still have our own old life and nature there. We have our own opinions, our own ideas. We have our own self-esteem, as it were, self-importance, and we differ. And because naturally we differ, and these differences tend to challenge that unity of the Spirit. And that's where the uniting bond of peace is important. In spite of all the differences, we are different. Different temperament, different agreeing, different background, different understanding of the Word of God, even different spiritual experiences. We are all different. And yet, in spite of all these differences, we keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. In other words, we continue to fellowship with one another. Why? Because fellowship is based on life, not on light. We fellowship with brothers and sisters who are the Lord's, with all the members of the body of Christ, in spite of all the differences. As we share with one another, we can share these differences. But don't insist. Be open. And if we are willing to be open and not insist, and with all these differences, we can continue on in fellowshipping, and very soon you'll find we will arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13. Begin with the unity of the Spirit, and you will end with the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The faith in verse 13 is different from the faith, one faith. One faith is a basic faith, that is the person and the work of our Lord Jesus. The faith is the faith once delivered to the saints. That is the whole teaching in the Bible. One day we will come to the same understanding through fellowshipping. If we do not fellowship, then we'll never be able to arrive at the unity of the faith and of the epignosis, the full knowledge of the Son of God. That is to experience the Son of God in fullness. Through fellowship, we share with one another what the Lord has made us understood. We share with one another what the Lord means to us in our life. Give and take. Be open. If we do not agree, lay it aside. Seek the Lord together. Sooner or later, we will arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at the full grown man, at the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we no longer be babies. And every member of the body work together for the building up of the body in love. Brothers and sisters, here you'll find the secret of it. Fellowship is so precious. And yet, it is so delicate. So we have to be very careful in handling this matter of fellowship. Now, of course, if you read Philippians chapter 2, you have the same thought. Let the mind of Christ be in you. And then if you read Colossians chapter 3, you have the same thought, that love is the uniting bond of all virtues. But anyway, you find, because this fellowship is so important, so when we are practicing it, we have to handle it with care. Now, there are many ways of fellowshipping. Breaking of bread and prayers are the main ways of fellowship. Other than that, you'll find in the Bible, you can come together to search the Word of God, as you'll find the Bereans, how they are nobler than the Thessalonians, how they gathered together to search the Scripture daily, to know if this is true. So we can fellowship over the Word of God. Or we can fellowship by exercising the gifts that God has given to different people. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Each has something to offer, and we share with one another. As the Spirit leads, and in order. Or we can fellowshipping together by serving together. When we serve together, it is fellowshipping. We learn much more when we serve together than to be served. Or we pray for one another. We can do that every day. Or sometimes we come together and pray together. In Hebrews we are told, as long as it is today, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. As long as it is today, exhort, encourage one another. We can bear one another's burden. That's fellowship. Galatians chapter 6. We can visit the sick, help the elderly. We can preach the gospel, fellowshipping in the gospel, as you find the Philippine church did. Or like the Macedonians, in material things, they help the poor in Judea, in Jerusalem. So you find there are many, many ways that we can fellowship. It is not limited just to a few meetings. In the meetings, out of the meetings, the fellowship should go on. And through fellowship, we are built up together in love. In other words, God's purpose concerning His Son may be fulfilled in us. So dear brothers and sisters, let's really seek the Lord together. And let's be willing to really give ourselves to this fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is so precious. It appeared 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem and in many other places through the centuries. And it can appear even today here on earth. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank Thee for calling us into Thy fellowship. Thank Thee for the privilege of fellowshipping with the Father and with the Son, and overspilled to all the members of the body. Oh, how we thank Thee for that. Do open our eyes, enlarge our vision, bring us into the reality of that fellowship. Lord, break us that we may be willing to open ourselves to one another, enrich one another, receiving from one another. Oh, give us a spirit of humility and of meekness and lowliness. Teach us how to forbear and forgive one another. Lord, lead us on that together we may pursue Thee, our Lord Jesus. We ask in Thy precious name.